Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for today's Appraisal Buzzcast. With us, as always, is our host, Hal Humphreys. Hal, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. We have a great guest today. Jason Covington is joining us. You have a great relationship with Jason.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. Jason, you know, for those of the folks in the audience that don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your history. How did you get in this crazy business, and how long have you been doing this?
My name's Jason Covington, from Nashville, Tennessee. I've been in the appraisal business for going on 19 years now. I've done a number of different things in the appraisal profession, created some businesses, done some different things when times were changing and laws were changing. I took my appraisal practice in a different direction and created an appraisal management company, built in, I know the bad word, right? But my intention was that, not to sidetrack, but my intention with that whole business was to be the advocate for the appraiser, be the voice, be an appraiser in that position that has, you know, that connection with the lenders and what's going on, and help be the conduit between the two. And it was right. So new to a lot of us appraisers at the time. Everybody was, you know, stopped to it and, you know, against it. And I think I helped leverage kind of my position to gain some ground and some confidence in the good parts of the appraisal management company business. So done a few different things. I love what I do. I love the appraisal business. I love the market here in Nashville. It's been up, it's been down, it's been great. And it's provided me a great way of life and a great work-life balance. I absolutely love what I do.
And I know you're a boots on the ground appraiser. You know, most of the time when I call you on the phone, you're out looking at houses or you're sitting at your desk doing that thing. You are still a boots on the ground appraiser. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I've done two inspections this morning and wrote half an appraisal, put that on pause to talk with you here now. Yes, I'm a boots on the ground appraiser. I have a whole bunch of to do right here.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jason, let me take a quick second to give a shout out to one of our sponsors.
Since 1978, LIA Administrators and Insurance Services has been offering E&O insurance to valuation professionals. LIA applies superior customer service, exceptional liability education from Peter Christensen, and unparalleled claim defense managed by Claudia Gaglioni. LIA offers errors and omissions, commercial bonds, general liability, cyber liability, and real estate agents and brokers E&O. Visit liability.com or call 800-334-0652.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Hal Humphreys. You're listening to the Appraisal Buzz. I've got Jason Covington, a good friend of mine here in Nashville, Tennessee, on the line, and we're talking today about the Appraisal Summit, which is coming up very shortly. Jason, you have a session that you're doing there. Tell us what that's about.
Well, I'm doing a presentation on non-lending work. Okay. So different avenues to gain, get, and be a professional in different areas of the appraisal industry. Okay. So I'll do a presentation there. But backing up just a little bit, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Hal. But you mentioned the summit. The summit in itself is something that's you know, 4 or 5 years new to me. I haven't always been a participant in my 18 years with either the Tennessee Appraisal Coalition or the National Association of Appraisers, which I'm both a part of now and very involved in the NAA. And love the opportunity that the summit provides all of us as appraisers, the connection, the education, the information. It's a great place to mix, mingle, grow your profession, grow yourself professionally, meet your peers that are doing things the same as you or different than you in different lines of work. Looking very much forward to the Appraisal Summit. It's a great opportunity.
And, you know, Jason, you and I met at the summit several years ago, and I have the same thing. I was not always the person that went to conferences. I didn't really see the benefit until I started going. And one of the things that really hit me about the conference world is you get to make connections with appraisers across the country. So when you have a question about a complex property, you can call a buddy and talk to them about it. You also get to meet chief appraisers from AMCs and lenders and you know, government agencies. I'm thinking of the VA and the FHA folks were at some of the conferences over the years. It's a really good chance to meet peers, but also meet some of the people that kind of supply us with work and also supply us with here's how we'd like the work done. So it's a really good opportunity as a boots on the ground appraiser to take a few minutes away, a few days away from your office, spend some time. You get CE for the time you're there. There's pre-conference CE available. But you also get to spend time with your fellow appraisers and talk to them about the things that are important in this industry. Yeah. Let me do this. I'm going to take another quick break and give a shout out to another one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that NAN hosts quarterly discussions with our appraisal panel on bias, inclusion, equity, and diversity initiatives that impact the appraisal industry? The topic of bias in the appraisal world will remain at the forefront of legislative, agency, and lender priorities well into the future. At NAN, we believe that intentional bias is only a very small fraction of the underlying issue, and that outdated policies and regulations and unconscious bias are a far greater concern. It's our hope to work closely with the appraiser community as partners in an endeavor to improve processes and procedures and ensure equitable treatment for all valuations. Learn more by visiting nan-amc.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Hal Humphreys. You're listening to The Buzzcast. I'm here with Jason Covington, my good friend here in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, Jason, your presentation at the summit is going to be on non-lending work. And I'm certain you're going to cover a lot of different areas where appraisers could get work that's not directly from lenders. Give me, say I'm an appraiser, I've called you on the phone. I'm like, hey, Jason, man, I've been doing AMC work and I'm kind of dry on the work right now. It's a little bit slow. What would you tell me to do? First steps to try and get some non-lending work as an appraiser?
It depends on what your niche is and what are you drawn to? What do you like to do? What avenue would you like to take? Do you want to work with realtors who have connections that may need their clients, maybe a pre-listing appraisal? They don't know what to list it for. A seller thinks it's, you know, going to be worth one. Agent or the agent saying something, you know, who wants to do that? They also, you know, that avenue will lend to, you know, professional measurements and doing other things. Do you like court work? Do you like to be in court? Do you like to be an expert witness maybe? There's tax appeal work. You got to find kind of what's drawing you or what's driving you. What keeps you interested? How can you keep learning? Find that road, find that niche, and we'll talk about that and how to grow in that niche. But you got to find what you like first, Hal. And what avenue do you want to go down?
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of appraisers struggle with that question. What would I like to do other than lender work? I mean, here's the thing. It's so 2 years ago, all you had to do was sign up for the AMCs and you were drinking from a fire hose. Now that's not the case, right? Now we've got to think about, I'd really like to get a little bit more work. So I like the idea of reaching out to real estate agents. We're appraisers. We interact with real estate agents on a fairly regular basis, or at least we should. And those are really good resources to reach out to and ask them, hey, if you need a pre-listing appraisal, let me know. I'll be happy to help you out. If you need home measurement work done, why not hire an appraiser, someone that knows how to go out and measure a house? There's a lot of things to do that don't necessarily even relate to valuation that appraisers can do to help out agents and attorneys. And, you know, I love the idea of the tax appeal work. A lot of people don't think about that. It's it's scary to some people, thinking about going in and defending your work in that manner. And the same thing with courtroom work. You know, a lot of people just do not want to do that. Do you ever do any courtroom work?
I have not. And I'm one of those appraisers that I would do it, but, and I would learn so much from it. But there's a piece of me that's little, there's a little hesitation there.
Right.
But I'm sure after I got in there, got my boots dusty for a minute, I'd come out, learn a few things, and I'd be all right. I know some guys that do it and love it. They love doing it.
I tell people all the time, when you're on the stand, you know, the attorney that hired you, if you've worked with them right, you know, you feel like the smartest person in the room.
Right.
And then the other attorney gets up and asks you a bunch of questions, and you feel like you're standing in the intersection naked, and everybody's looking at you, and you feel like the dumbest person in the county.
Right. That's the image I have. How did you know how I feel? That's exactly, yeah. That's the hesitation.
But here's the thing about that work. It pays well, and it's not personal. A lot of us appraisers, we really take our valuation work personally. We get our ego involved in it. At the end of the day, courtroom work is not personal. Do professional work, do the homework, do the hard, you know, the hard math, and make sure everything is supported. And know full well that the other side is going to ask a bunch of questions that may flub you up and may, you know, make you feel a little bit less than smart. But you're getting paid really well to sit there and take that beating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the choice. That's one of the choices you have to make, you know, which path do I want to go down? And that path would be very lucrative, and you would be definitely a professional. You need to know your business and how to articulate your business to somebody else that doesn't understand what we say and how we say. There's a lot that goes on there. Probably one of my favorite paths that I've used in the last probably 8 years, give or take, has been my built-in contact list with the agents that I deal with on a daily basis. I'm calling to verify sales. There's so many opportunities with these people that you talk to every day. And it took me a while to learn this. And here's probably one of my biggest tips that I'm going to give away. This is a good tip I'm going to give away at the conference. It's a good one. But we all make phone calls every day to these agents. We're setting up inspections, all the pieces and parts. We're verifying sales. We're doing all the things that involve these agents on a daily basis. So when I'm calling and doing these things, not only do I make a phone call, but I'll always follow up or preface either way with a text, letting them know, hey, Jason Covington Appraiser, this address, this request, this time, this date, whatever it is, that's a log in my phone that's going to be there until I delete it. And I haven't deleted any of them yet. And you will be amazed how many agents you've talked to. Maybe you haven't talked to one since 2001, and all of a sudden Jane pops up. Whoa. And you re-spark a relationship with her, and she has some business. I cannot tell you how much business I get from getting personal with these contacts, keeping them in my phone and relaying a prior experience we had. And then when she or he looks in their phone, they're like, oh yeah, that's Jason the appraiser. He did this one and this one and this one and that one for me. Oh, and that's the only appraiser I have in my phone. They don't keep appraisers in their phone.
I love it. I'd love to sit here and talk for an hour about non-lending work and ways to get it and what to do when you do get it. But you're going to cover all those things at the Appraisal Summit coming up here later on this month. And I don't want to give too much away, but Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I always enjoy chatting with you. And you know, the relationship has been, for me, very gratifying getting to know you, getting to spend time with you over the years, and you've helped me grow professionally, and I appreciate you for that. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Hal. I appreciate you too. You're a great friend of mine, and the relationship we've grown over the time has been wonderful. Thanks for having me on today. Thanks for giving me a platform to promote this thing at the summit, and I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you, Jim, for calling me and having me as well. Thank you both.
Yeah, Jim Morrison, hop on here. Do we by chance have an anonymous appraiser?
We're not letting you off the hook yet.
Yeah,
we have our anonymous appraiser question. If there's anybody out there that has a question for us, you can reach out at comments@appraisalbuzz.com, and we'll have our experts answer your question. So this person asks, as a new residential appraiser, not certified, what do you do if I appraise a home that goes over my $1 million license restriction? Also, as a follow-up, do you think that threshold will change with the average cost of homes increasing so much in the recent years?
I'll answer backwards to forward. I don't know anything about that regulation changing. I don't have a gauge on that. But the mark is $1 million. And if you're not certified, you're not qualified to do properties over $1 million. I guess on a project like that, if I wasn't a certified appraiser and I knew I was doing a purchase for somewhere near $800,000-$900,000, there could be a chance it could be more than that. I might have to call somebody, a peer, and engage in some help and let the lender know that I am getting the help I need. I'm getting qualified at this time and work with somebody that's qualified to do that to walk me through it. I mean, I should know as a non-certified appraiser how to appraise that property. Just because it's over $1 million, I can get some help with that and work through that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say is answering them in order. I would say if you realize that there's a good chance you might go over $1 million, go ahead up front, let your client know that this may be a problem and call a friend that is certified to help you out on that project. And literally, if you do good work and they trust you and they know you, they can do that pretty cheaply. They can, you know, review the work real quick and sign off on it. And, you know, as long as they're comfortable with you and the work you've done, I think there's a really good way to handle that. As far as the de minimis goes, I don't remember when they changed it to $1 million. I have not heard anyone talking about the de minimis raising anytime in the near future. There is a certain amount of logic that says, as the average home price goes up, maybe we ought to look at raising that de minimis. But I haven't heard anybody talk about that specifically. Jim, do you think we did a decent job of answering the question?
Yeah, I looked it up. I looked it up after, and it says the average in California is $760,000 for an average home. So they're getting up close to there.
Yeah, that's like living in my neighborhood in Nashville.
It is like your neighborhood, Hal. You're correct.
Just to be clear on them, I want to make sure everybody's clear about this. My wife and I bought our house 23 years ago in our neighborhood, and the home values around there have increased in an insane degree over the past several years. And it's a good situation, and it's a not good situation for us in a number of ways. You know, that's one of the things that home buyers and home sellers think about on a regular basis. Our house is worth a lot more than it was when we bought it, magnitudes more than it was when we bought it. We could sell it and we can make a lot of money. We'd realize a lot of capital gains, but Jason, where would I go?
You come over to my neighborhood. It's a touch lower than yours. Come on over to the west side.
I love it. Jim Morrison, thank you for setting this up. Jason, thank you for joining us today. It's always nice to have you on. I really appreciate the insight on the anonymous appraiser question. Jim Morrison, is there anything else we need to cover today?
Well, if there's anyone that's watching this and decides, hey, I want to see Jason, I want to go check out Appraisal Summit, you still have time to get there. You can register on site, or you can just go to appraisalsummit.net and register now, and then you'll be all set up when you get there. But there's still time to go and join us in Las Vegas.
Awesome.
And we would love to see you at the Appraisal Summit. So again, appraisalsummit.net. Join us if you get a chance. If you haven't thought about it, this is your cue. If you've never been to a conference before, check out the Appraisal Summit. It's a really good summit. Boots on the ground appraisers left and right. People talking about difficulties and struggles and also really good things. So join us if you get a chance. That is your appraisal buzz for this week. I'm Hal Humphreys for Jim Morrison and Jason Covington. Mm-hmm.